Good afternoon all. I'm Gurjinder Bhatt from Oklahoma State University. I'm a first year PhD student. And the research I'm going to discuss here is a part of a collaborative project between USDA ARS Gravenhurst Research Laboratory and Oklahoma State University. You might have realized from the picture it's about different crops, some new different crops for forage. Let me start with defining the extent of Southern Great Plains. Actually cover about one-third of the total area of five states, Colorado, Kansas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas. And among these five, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, they are major beef producing states. So that explains how the region is important in terms of total beef production of U.S. Among the crops, winter wheat is the major crop, which is grown for grain, but it also provides forage for grazing. Depending on the management system, if it's grazed out, then it provides grazing starting from mid-November to mid-April, and if it's grazed grain type, then it provides grazing from November to mid-March. However, during the summer, perennial warm season grasses like Bermuda grass, dew stem, they are grazed. The problem here is the quality. As the temperature increases in somewhere in mid-July, these perennial grasses, they decline in quality. And that becomes a limiting factor for stocker cattle production. So there is a gap, a quality gap in the regional forest system. A possible solution could be bringing something new, a quality summer forage that could fit in that window. But there are certain factors that could need to be considered while looking for a new crop. The crop should be a short duration crop, having 60 to 90 days, so that it does not mess with the planting of wheat. It should fit well in irrigated, erratic rain-fed condition, because most of the system in Southern Great Plains is rain-fed, only few irrigated system. So it should do well in the rain-fed condition. Drought tolerance. During the summer, the droughts are very common. So it should tolerate certain amount of drought. And most important, it should have minimal effect on the subsequent major crop, that is wheat. We don't want to compete with the main crop in terms of nutrient, water. The last one, if possible, should be a good cover to increase the precipitation use efficiency, to increase the soil health. When I was looking for the crops, I was basically focusing on the dry region of the world where we have more common drought, so that the native species from those regions could be used here. The tapri bean was on my list at the first. It's a semi-vine type legume, short duration crop, 60 to 70 days, and native to northwestern Mexico. It has been used as donor crop to improve the drought tolerance of common beans. So it's pretty obvious that it's very drought tolerant. It's used as a food crop in Africa as well. As you can see in the picture, it covers the soil very well, so an excellent cover. And some articles reported it as a good forage quality. So that's why that's a potential choice for us. The next one is moth bean. It's a creeping annual legume that is native to desert region of India. So if it's grown in desert, it could do well in other dry conditions. It also has a short duration, 60 to 70 days. And in India, it's grown as food, forage, and cover crop. However, there is not any forage quality data in the literature. So it also has some potentials. Guar, it's also a drought-tolerant legume, 90 to 20 days to maturation. But in US, it's mainly grown as a grain crop, because of the great demand from last few years in oil fracking industries. From forage potential, it has not been explored much. However, it is believed that it has some hairy leaves which hinders the grazing. However, the hay is believed to be palatable and digestible in some part of India. So it was also on our list. We do have some grasses. Finger millet is one of them. It's an adaptive annual grass native to Ethiopia. And it grows pretty well in drought condition in India and Africa. And in India and Africa, it's mainly grown as a food crop. However, the silage and straw is believed to be highly nutritious. Tav is not a new field, I believe, in US. It's also annual grass native to Ethiopia, a cereal crop in Africa. So far, it has showed broad adaptation in southern and western of US. And so we were thinking to try it as well in our condition in the region, Southern Great Plains. It is believed to be very good, especially for horses. So with all the options in our hand, we had the objective to evaluate the adaptability of the potential novel crops in the region and to quantify the yield and quality for each of these crop species. We started our study this year at USDA ARS Grazing Land Research Laboratory in central Oklahoma. The design was generalized complete block design, two blocks and four application total. The plot size was 5 meters by 5 meters. I would like to talk a little about the blocks. So the two blocks were two different fields. One of the blocks, clay loam type, it has high fertility, low weed pressure, flat land. While the other was slightly different, it was sandy loam soil, sandy clay loam, medium fertility, high weed pressure, and slope of 5%. And the distance between two blocks was about 500 meters. For the management, we managed legumes and grasses slightly different. In the legume, we have guar, tapir bean, mock bean, and we used forest soybean as a control. The row spacing was 40 centimeter, and the seeds were planted at a rate of 10 seeds per meter row using precision planter, as you can see in the picture. The sampling interval, plant sampling interval, it was every 15 days, starting up to 30 days of planting. And from those samples, the data collected was total biomass, leaf to stem ratio, and the forage quality of leaves, stems, and pods. Well, for the grasses, we have finger millet, teff, and sorghum sedan grass as control. The row spacing was similar, but the seed rate was double. It was 20 seeds per meter. Plant sampling interval was same, while the data collected was total biomass, and we were more focused on the quality of the whole plant. This is the timeline. So for us, the crucial decision was the planting, because normally the farmer, they harvest wheat, winter wheat in end week of May, last week of May. So in June, beginning June, we were looking. So in the first week, we got some precipitation and the temperature, it raised to around 25 degrees Celsius. So 9 June is the time when we planted. We planted all the species. And after that, we didn't get any rain for next 50 days. There was one or two little events. And the moisture was very limited for the first 50 days. I tried to apply little bit of water to help in crop establishment, but that was very less, I believe. The days were very hot, so most of the water was going to the atmosphere, and we were barely wetting the surface. In August, we got the rain, most of the rain. And moss bean, it got mature first. After 60 days, we harvested it. And then after 90 days, we harvested tapir beans and soybean. And after 105 days, guar, finger millet, and sorghum are harvested. You might be wondering where is teff. We had issue with the teff, planting of teff, so we don't have any data for the teff this year. This is after drought. So we had, we had drought for 50 days. So after drought, when we got precipitation, this is how they all are growing crazy, all green leaves. So guar, especially moss bean and tapir bean, they were forming one, covering the soil very well. Weasels, I would like to start with legumes. So this is the forage quality of leaves at maturity at the last harvest. If we talk about the growth protein, in all the four species, they were in a range of 18 to 19% and were similar. While guar and moth bean, they were not much higher in fiber as compared to tapir and soybean. We do have some soil effect in terms of growth protein. The clay loam soil, being fertile, more fertile, has more growth protein as compared to the sandy loam. For the stem quality, you can see the growth protein is half, less than half. So they all were kind of poor in quality. Moth bean was slightly better than other three. And in fibers, moth bean again has less fiber as compared to other three. And soybean are controlled, it was having the highest fibers. In terms of soil effect, we do have again growth protein difference in terms of soil. Clay loam has more growth protein. So from leaf and stem to ratio quality, we came to know, okay, the stems were very poor in quality, leaves were good. So I would say the one with having higher leaf to stem ratio would be the good one. So moth bean during the entire season has the maximum out of these four, has the maximum leaf to stem ratio, while guar had the lowest in the entire growing season. Soybean and tapir bean, they were kind of similar. in terms of soil effect, in the beginning, clay loam has more leaves and then they kind of overlap. Total dry weight, in the beginning, as I was saying, very dry, so they were similar until 45 days, then we got moisture. Then Bouar was performing better than other three were similar. Then Bouar again after 75 days. Tepri and Soybean, they were similar. So Bouar was having the highest yield out of the four, about 7 tons per acre, and while Tepri bean and Soybean having around 3 tons per acre. We do have soil effect. So in this case, sandy loam clay soil was giving more biomass. I believe these species, they are more adaptive to moderate sandy loam soil as compared to high fertile soil conditions. Grasses. As you can see, the Sudan grass, these bars are very high. So sorghum has quite a low yield as compared to Sudan grass in all of them. After 75 days, we got about less than 3 tons per acre. And after then, again, the finger millet yield decreased. But in terms of quality, the finger millet crude protein was about 16%, while in case of Sudan, it was only 9%. And also in the fiber in the finger millet, they were significantly less than the Sudan grass. So even though the yield was lesser, but the quality was higher in finger millet. So I would like to summarize for each of the crops, their adaptability, their yield and quality. Bouar, it took 100 days in our condition, it gave high yield and the leaves were nutritious, but the problem was high proportion of stem, poor quality stem. Moth bean, a short duration crop, I think it would be ideal for our condition because we want to recharge the water table after getting a crop so that moisture could be used by the wheat. So its leaf quality was good, high leaf to stem ratio, and the yield was comparable to soybean. Tepri bean, a 90 days crop, yield and quality both were comparable to soybean. Grasses, the yield was lower than Sudan grass, while the quality was higher. These were my references. I would like to thank USDA ARS Grazing Land Research Laboratory for all the funding, support, and resources, and also technicians and students. Questions? Thank you.